To you. So good to have you. There is no doubt in my mind that you have the coolest name in all the brotherhood for your Friends and Family Day. We just call ours Friends and Family Day. You call yours Plum Full Sunday. Coming from Eastern Kentucky, I know exactly what that means. If something's plum full, it's full. You can't get another one in there. And that's what our goal was for today and is for today. It is so good to be with you. It is good to have my good wife Jean traveling with me for many years. She had to work and support my preaching habit, and I traveled alone. Now she is retired and travels with me, and I'm really enjoying that. I could spend a long time talking about you and our relationship over the last many years, but I do want to mention how blessed you are, and you know you are, with Brother Neil and Kathy and Edwin and Sarah working with you. What a good team that is. I work with a good team. I am one of the ministers of the Rolling Hills Church of Christ, and the other is Brother Dan Murphy. And Dan and I work together very similar to how Edwin and Neil does, and it's a good situation. It's a good thing. And it is so good to be with you. I was asked to talk about the church doing life together or growing together in the sense of if we grow together as a family and become closer, it will result in saving souls. And I believe that, and I believe that what the good brother just read tells us that. On the day of Pentecost, in the first church of Christ, they were together and had all things in common. And neither did any man say that his possessions were his own, but they shared, and they were able to influence the community around them because of that. You see, I was moving chairs the other day with my two grandsons. Maddox is 6 and Harrison is 10. And we were getting ready for Ladies' Day and we were moving chairs. And I said, I wonder why my knee hurts so. And Maddox spoke up and said, 'cause you're old. And then he went on with his little hands like this to explain. He said, Granddaddy, when people get old, their bodies don't work properly. And so I received medical advice from a 6-year-old. Well, congregations are like that, aren't they? Sometimes, when congregations have been in a community for a long time, the body doesn't work the way it ought to. They become complacent. They become apathetic. You've never allowed that to happen, and I appreciate you for that. And we don't allow it to happen at Rolling Hills. We keep a fire belt under them, and we want to continue to do that. And so getting closer together as a family will influence those outside, and that's what we want to talk about. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 7 that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. We are social beings. I know you think you'd want to move off in a cabin way away from everybody. You wouldn't be up there 2 weeks before you'd be ordering pizza. We're social beings. We want to be with one another. And we certainly intend to do that in the Lord's church. And you, with your vision and your future plans, you will not accomplish all that you could if you don't do it together. And of course you're going to do that. Well, I want to spend a little bit of time in Acts 2 and verse 41 and following. The danger with talking about a familiar scripture like this is because one of the things is we tend to just kind of skim over it because we think we already know it. This is probably the most popular, most famous scripture in all of Scripture, this section, when it comes to the churches of Christ. But the fact is, we haven't learned it all. There are so many depths and so many deep truths here that you and I need to continue to study this book and this section. But notice in verse 41, after Peter had testified with many other words and exhorted them and told them to be saved from the untoward generation, about those who gladly received the word were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord. That means they liked each other. That means they were together. They were in one accord. Continuing daily in one accord. And in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, that's exactly what Neil asked me to talk about. He asked me to talk about the church getting closer together and favorably influencing the outside to the point that they want to have what we have. They want to be what we are. And is that the case? If it's not, we need to work on it. They were workers together. They endured together. They were going to heaven together, verse 46, and they were finding favor with the lost so that they too could be taught. The summation of the summary of all of this is when we do life together, it brings us into favor with outsiders and causes the good hearts among our neighbors to want what we have. In verse 47, finding favor with all the people, having favor with all the people. I noticed the other day when I was reading the New Century Version, not a very popular version, but sometimes I look at it to kind of get some ideas. And I noticed they translated it, the outsiders liked them. They were liked by all the people. And I dare say that you have a good reputation in this community because you are doing life together. You see each other. I preached in a place one time where the only members of the church in the whole community were members of the congregation where I was. A very prominent and prevalent denomination had kind of taken over the county. They ran the banks, they ran their own the city council and all of that. And so when we would baptize somebody and they would become a member and we would work with them and help them mature, they had to rely on us because there weren't any other New Testament Christians in that community of whom we were aware anyway. Well, I took one fellow that I taught and baptized, took him home with me to Mount Sterling, Kentucky, for a sale, an auction somebody was having. And when we pulled in the town, when we went into the town, we went into McDonald's, and the girl behind the counter was somebody I recognized from church. I went and got a haircut. My barber was an elder in the church. And we went to the auction, and the auctioneer and two of his helpers were members of the church. And so this fellow, we started talking about that, and he said, I didn't know such a place existed on earth. He said, I didn't know there was a place. Well, in Warren County, there are a lot of Christians, a lot of New Testament Christians. And so you can influence favorably those on the outside. And when you get closer together as a family, you will continue to grow. But it's not just about growth, family. It's about saving those precious souls. It's about putting them in a relationship with Jesus. It's about our friends and our neighbors becoming more like Jesus all the time. Then the second text with which we wish to deal this morning starts in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 17. I wish we had time to dissect all this. We don't, but we can hit the high points. And verse 17 says, if anyone is in a saving relationship with Jesus, he is a new creation. If anyone is a new creation, behold, or old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And he goes on to say, we have been reconciled to God through Jesus, verse 18. We have passed on, the ministry of reconciliation has been passed on to us, verse 18. We are to reconcile the lost so that their trespasses are no longer imputed to them. You see that in verse 19? Look in your Bible. Their trespasses are no longer imputed to them. What a great blessing that is, because I don't know about you, but I've got a few of those trespasses. I have a few of those in my background, and I'm glad they're not imputed to me. How did that happen? The blood of Jesus took care of it. As if God were pleading through us, we implore on God's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21, the only way you and I can be righteous is to connect ourselves to the righteous one, Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin. Peter said he had no sin, nor was there any deceit found in him. And we're supposed to walk in his steps because of that. And then, chapter 6 and verse 1, I put you Put your finger over that big black six and just keep reading as if it weren't there. I wish that wasn't even there. When in the text, I wish they hadn't divided that thought. Because let's read verse 21 of chapter 5. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. And sometimes, I have a Bible at home that doesn't have the numbers in it. It doesn't have the chapter divisions, and I love to read that thing because sometimes it divides the thought. That's your lesson for today. We are to notice that phrase in verse 1, workers together with him. Now, what Paul is going to do is he is going to tell us about himself and his apostolic companions as examples of how Christians are to live and how we are to get together and to grow in Christ, and how that will influence the community. And so when we do life together, we display the wonders of God. Is it Ephesians 3 and verse 10 where the Bible says the manifold wisdom of God is made known by the church to the principalities and powers? The church is how people learn about the manifold wisdom of God. It's the church. That's how people know what is expected of them. It's you and it's me. And sometimes I wonder, family, how well we are doing at that. Also, when we live together as a body and we work together, we show our joy. Our joy in Christ Jesus. Do you know joy has a lot? It's effective. You can, if you act as if you're enjoying what you're doing, people won't know why. And as you walk through this life, don't go through this life thinking, oh, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I got, you've heard all that. You've heard preachers talk about that before, how we, the little boy asked his granddaddy, was the mule a Christian? And his granddaddy said, why would you say that? And he said, well, he's got a long face like a Christian. And that's not us. We don't have long faces. We enjoy this life. But this community has to know that. Now, let me tell you a couple of things that I missed at the beginning. The next two lessons, the one in Bible class and the one after the potluck meal when I get to try to keep you awake, those two lessons all fit in with this. So you need to be here for all three of them if you possibly can, because it will help us kind of round out the whole picture. And so in chapter 6, and verses 1 through 10, skip down to verse 4. Paul said, in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in patience, in tribulation, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, tumults, labors, in sleeplessness, and fastings. This is a big list, isn't it? By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Paul said, in other words, we display what God wants us to be in this life by enduring, verse 4 and 5. We persevere. You know, let me throw a wrench in something that you've believed your whole life. Job wasn't very patient. Job persevered. Job was tough as a nail because he kept going. But he wasn't very patient. He yelled at God and wanted to know why those things were happening to him, and I would have done the same thing. But you know why James said he was patient, which should have been translated persevere, that he persevered? Because he didn't give up. He endured in the face of, it would be difficult for us to fathom, family, the hardship that he had. He lost everything. Have you ever lost everything? Would you keep going as a Christian if that were the case? Well, I want to tell you something. If you do lose something, if you do go through a tragedy and you keep going as a result of it and don't give up on your faith, you're going to influence your neighbors. You're going to influence people. They're going to see you and they're going to say, man, faith as strong as iron. That man believes what he said he believes. We show our joy when we endure. We show our hope when we work together. We show our wide open hearts. Look at chapter 6 and verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. No pretense. Paul was just exactly who he said he was and who he appeared to be. And he showed the Corinthians that. And if they were to live that way, the neighbors are going to see it as well. And so we display great endurance. We live under hope. We show our wide open hearts when we do life together, when we intermingle with one another outside these walls. I appreciate the walls because I've preached in places that didn't have walls. I preached in Malaysia in a lean-to, three sides and no front. And people sitting on dirt, on the floor, listening to the gospel. And when I stood there to preach it, I preached in my sock feet in Malaysia too, by the way. They take their shoes off every place they go. And first, I just wanted to make sure I didn't have holes in my socks. And so I preached in some of those places, and I've always thought, what would Americans do here? What would Americans do here with our nice buildings? I love these walls, and I appreciate heat, and I appreciate not having to carry coal in and ashes out and all that. I appreciate that. But most of our living's done outside these walls. I appreciate the fact that you're going to build a new facility. Very similar, according to the plans, to the one we have at Rolling Hills, and it serves us very well. I appreciate that you're going to do that, but don't ever think that's the church. Please don't ever get in your mind that that's the church. That's a tool. That's an advertisement. Your neighbors are going to see it, and they're going to wonder about it, and it needs to be. It doesn't need to sit empty there and not have anything going on there through the week. It needs to be a hub of activity for the beehive of the Lord's work. It needs to be used. And so we show our wide open hearts to them. We show that we don't give up under affliction. We really believe this stuff. If we didn't, we would fall by the wayside when hard times came. But we don't do that. We don't turn back to a life of sin. We don't receive, how was it Paul put it? We don't receive the grace of God in vain. Vain means empty and useless. And so when we receive this grace of God, we get it. We understand. We didn't deserve it. And we would have been lost and hopeless and without purpose were it not for that grace. We're not shaken by our ups and downs. We hold fast to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain in Him. It's not, you're not wasting your time when it comes to serving God. And so the Apostle Paul tells us, as well as in the book of Acts, we learn that this life, this Christian life, is to be done together. We're to be doing this together, not just in here, but out there. Did you get it when we read there in Acts chapter 2 that it was a daily thing? They saw each other. Maybe not every single one of them. Congregation this size, you won't see this size. You won't see every single one every day, but you should come in contact and you should know what's going on with one another. And we have a secretary at Rolling Hills that keeps us informed on, and I don't know how she gets all those details. I know you have a good one, Linda, because she used to be the secretary when I was here, and she was excellent. But it's not just her job. It's all of us. We all need to know what's going on in the community. Somebody needs our help. Before we run out of time, let me tell you a couple of things that we do, that you may do, that influences the community and has helped us to gain some members. One place, we put a picture of the whole congregation in the paper, and the headline was, many of your friends and families have already discovered Grant County Church of Christ. Why don't you give it a try? And we had a lady named Pat Dion who saw that ad, and she said, that looked like a family to which I would like to have belonged. And so she attended the services. She became a Christian, member of the church. She brought her sister, Sue, and she became a member. Their sister, Molly, then Molly's daughter and her granddaughter and her granddaughter's husband, and so on, all because we put an ad in the paper that looked as if we were a happy family. looked as if we liked each other, John 13:35. Looked as if we loved one another. And many other things we've done. I am one of those rare people who was dropped on his head as a child, apparently, because I like to go out and knock doors and talk to my neighbors whom I don't know. I like to go from door to door and just talk to them and introduce myself and leave literature with them about the church. I know that's not everybody's thing and not everybody's cut out for that. I have a couple of preacher friends who think I'm nuts for doing that, but it's been very effective. I left the literature on the with a man one time who said he wasn't interested, and he put it on top of the refrigerator. In June and in September, he came to the services, and I asked him why it took him so long, and he said, well, every time I walked by that refrigerator, it was like that literature was yelling at me, saying, take me down and read me. And so he said, I finally did, and it made sense. Baptized him, his wife, three teenage sons, and what a tragedy happened in that family. One of those teenage sons died at the age of 17 in the church building at a youth activity. And his father was standing right there looking at him. What a horrible thing. But thank God that his soul was ready to go because somebody knocked on his door and handed him some literature. Isn't that something? Well, that's how you will influence the outside and your friends and neighbors. Let's close out by looking at Paul's words of hope in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 and following. This is another very, very familiar passage. You know that this is the glue that is the love of Christ that holds us together. Paul talks about not being separated. Who can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? We're not going to be easily destroyed, easily separated. I am probably one of the most optimistic people you will ever meet. I try to find sunshine in everything, but there are some things in our great country of United States that calls me to be a little bit alarmed about what our future is going to be. And so I wonder how many of us would be separated if it all of a sudden became against the law to do what you and I are doing right now. How many of us would scatter as the apostles did in the garden? Well, Paul tells us in Romans 8, and beginning with verse 31, that what shall we say then? If God is for us, who can be against us? That ought to be your mantra. That ought to be something that you carry with you always, and me, that I carry with me always. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. And then he goes on to elaborate in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, trouble or hardship is what that means, persecution, famine, and he goes on to say nakedness or peril or sword, danger, death nor life, angels, principalities, and powers, not the present things present or things to come. None of those things will, neither height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from God. We're more than conquerors. Why? Because we're going to do this together. You know there's strength in numbers, right? You understand that. I was telling you about my grandsons. We had a ladies' day a couple of weeks ago, and the way we set it up, the breakfast meal was in the foyer. And as soon as the ladies had breakfast and went in for the sessions, it was our job to clear all the tables and chairs and all the food out of the foyer and get it back into the fellowship hall before the first session was over. And the only way we could do that was together. And we used our heads. We got a buggy so we could put about 20 chairs at once on it instead of carrying them one at a time. And one grandson pulled it and the other pushed, and we got that done. Well, together. We do things together. You and I worked for 10 years together starting congregations in counties where there weren't any, and it was very successful. And we helped small congregations build up and stand on their own and see their light again and have their fire again. That's very rewarding. Gene and I did that for 30 years. That was our job. We had one of the greatest jobs in the world to go out and do that. And 10 of those years, the last 10, were with you. And so what a great thing you can do together. Together You can build this new building out on the interstate. Together, you can fill it full of people. Not by yourselves. God has to do it. But you have to do it together. And so, consider Paul's words. Nothing will separate us from each other and from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And let's go back to what we started. All who believe were together and had all things in common. Sweet family of God, what I have tried to encourage you to do in the last few minutes is this. Love one another. Love one another and realize that this world's not your home. You're just passing through. My granddad had a lot of sayings, neat little things that you could learn. Some of them you can't tell in church, but one of them was, the graveyard's full of people, plumb full of people that weren't finished. Do what you need to do, because you never know. Do what you need to do together. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you're visiting from the community, we are so glad that you are here. The Bible teaches that you, in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, the Bible teaches that this earth, this travel, this thing we call life, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, it's just a journey. It's not the destination. Where am I on the way to, preacher? Well, the Bible says you're on the way to either heaven or hell. And if you want to go to heaven, here's what you have to do. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. The old preacher was walking from one preaching appointment to another, and a little dog just kept nipping at his heels, just aggravating him to death. He said, I took my walking stick and I tapped him on the head, and he repented. He turned around and went the other way. That's all you have to do. Somebody's gotten your attention with the gospel. Maybe you're in a Bible study with one of the preachers or one of the elders or somebody here, and it's finally clicked, and this is the day you want to obey. You believe that Jesus is the Christ. You repent of your sins. You're going to change your heart, and you're going to behave differently from now on. And you confess your faith in Christ. Don't come up here and confess the sordid details of your sin. We already know everybody sins. Well, unless they just would help you some way, but I never wanted to do that. What do I have to confess? That I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have to tell these people that. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto, leading toward salvation. And then you must allow yourself to be immersed in water. The old sinful man dies, you bury him. In the watery grave of baptism, he arises to walk in the newness of life. What happens in that burial, preacher? The blood of Jesus gets rid of all the guilt of everything you ever did. All of it. I baptized a 90-year-old woman. Well, it took three of us. Donnie Willoughby and Dan Murphy and I, baptized a 90-year-old woman 3 weeks ago. Wanda Branham. We rolled her up, and then we picked up her wheelchair and carried it up the steps, and we got her out and carried her down into the baptistry and baptized her and got her back out. 90 years old. But I never will forget what she said to me right before we baptized her. I said, Wanda, you know the blood of Jesus is going to get rid of all the bad things, the guilt of all the bad things you've ever done. And she said, well, brother, he's sure going to have his hands full. Well, it doesn't matter how bad you've been. What matters is what you're going to be from this point forward. If you're a Christian and you've gone back out and wallowed in the mire, oh, what a horrible thing. Peter said it would have been better if you'd never obeyed. The last state is worse than the first. You need to come home. Repent. Allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse you again. And if you're a child of God, a faithful member working together with this group, you're putting one foot in front of the other, you're breathing in and breathing out, you're walking that journey, but life's tough. Maybe you get discouraged. You know, we have something in the Lord's church. God has given us something that takes care of discouragement. Two things, and they don't cost a thing. Well, they cost Jesus a whole lot, but they don't cost me and you anything. If you're getting discouraged and life's just slapping you down and you need to be encouraged, you come up here when we start singing the invitation song and we got two free things for you, prayer and a hug. Prayer and a hug. That may be all you need. Now, here's how the procedure works for those of you unfamiliar. We're going to stand up in a minute and sing a song. While that song is being sung, myself and others will be standing down front. And if you want to respond to this invitation, you just make it known by stepping out in the aisle. And you can either come on down or motion to me and I'll come back and walk down with you if that'll help you. Let's do this together. Would you come right now as we stand and sing?